What the Tech is brought to you by HelloFresh. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/WTT80 and use the code WTT80.
What the Tech?
Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Thurrott, a very busy Paul Thurrott. How you doing, Paul?
Yep. You know, just the, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Tomorrow's a big day for Paul. It's his quinceañera.
Right.
He finally celebrates becoming a woman. No, tomorrow is the big Surface event that everybody's talking about here in New York City. I'm going to be meeting up with everybody after the fact. I don't know if people know, I'm going to be coughing a little bit, so I may go silent at times. I somehow got a terrible bacterial infection in my lungs, and I have been on heavy, heavy medication. I should have been hospitalized.
You know, Andrew, this is so like you. You hear all the millennials are getting sick vaping, and you're like, I want to be part of that.
I'm telling you, Paul, everybody has said, I'm just like, well, obviously you got it from vape. I don't vape. I actually got so mad at my wife's aunt, and I go, you know what? I smoke cigarettes like a real man. And then she did not find it funny. I don't smoke cigarettes, but everybody thinks it's from that. I don't know how I got it. It's just something that I got, and I've been sick since last Tuesday. I've lost about 15 pounds. Because I had no appetite, and today's actually
I'd like
the
to get
first
the sickness
day.
Then.
Yeah, it's not a bad diet, and sure. I'm
a couple of days of suffering, but then you emerge on the other side.
Yeah, if you're watching this, you're saying, "Well, Andrew, you look pretty good." I feel like utter garbage, and even just yesterday, I cannot get out of bed. I had to do the show today, so I forced myself to be here and to not. Be depressing for
right.
I'm gonna
enough about your illness, Andrew. It's depressing.
Yeah, it was very depressing. Actually,
tough crowd.
It is a tough crowd. We do have a lot to talk about. Obviously, tomorrow you're here for the Surface, the Microsoft hardware event. Mm-hmm. Not a Surface event. It's a Microsoft hardware event. Which is interesting wording here. Obviously, a lot of Surface news coming along. So I want to kind of stick to that. And actually, at the end of the show. I'll give a little review of my iPhone 11 Pro Max that I've had here for about a week and a half now. It's actually a lot of pros and many cons.
Well,
I'm going to say that there's a lot.
I've heard nothing but good news from most reviewers, Andrew. I'm curious.
There's a handful of things, not a lot.
Is it the sickness that's making you negative?
The sickness made me extremely negative.
You're like, it didn't prevent me from getting a flu. Supposedly, Apple devices prevent illness and injury.
You know what? That's what I thought. But only if I had the AirPods and the Apple Watch, I would have been fine. It could have prevented all illnesses.
Yeah.
That's what Tim Cook told me. So, Paul, where do you want to begin with this event?
Well, actually, let me begin with at the end, because this is leaking all over the Twitters right now. So as I had speculated for actually many weeks in a row on Windows Weekly, Microsoft is going to, because, you know, and I base this on the timing of the event. You may recall that in the spring, they suddenly started testing Windows 10 version 20H1, the version that's not coming out until next year. That was very confusing. They've never done anything like that before.
It's a lot of time, right?
Yeah. And given that, and the fact that Satya Nadella was coming to this event, I've been speculating that maybe this will be the time that they unveil what's going on software-wise in that release, because it must be the basis of this Lite OS or, you know, whatever we're calling this thing that we've been, you know, talking about for a long time. And now what has leaked is that Microsoft will announce a new version of Windows 10 called Windows 10 X that will ship late next year on new dual screen and folding screen devices.
So it's Windows 10 X, not 1010.
Well, yeah, right.
So this is the first name, I guess, official name change of sorts, right? For Windows 10?
No. So this is just a new version. So we have Windows 10 Home, we have Pro Enterprise, we have Pro 10X. Workstation.
Okay, got it.
So 10X is another SKU. It's and it will only be provided on those devices. It's not something. I actually don't know a lot about it right now. So I should say I don't. You know, there's no way that someone with Windows 10 Home or Pro is ever going to be able to update to this or upgrade or whatever. It's not a, you know, it's like a side thing. So it's just another SKU. And it's very specifically for those kinds of devices. And so we'll see what else, they'll talk about it. They'll show off a prototype, apparently, some people have said, of what Mary Jo Foley calls Centaurus. And, we know Dell and Lenovo have both talked about, I don't know if it was folding or dual screen devices, or one of both, whatever. Those are the number one and three PC makers in the world, presumably. Everyone in the top five will, announce such a device. Maybe we'll see one of those. Lenovo last year was very, was very cagey when they said, it's going to be running Windows, but they didn't say which version. Obviously, it's going to be this version. So
yeah,
that's exciting. I suspect, I'm just guessing based on timing, that 20H1, that version of Windows 10 we've been testing forever, must have the plumbing necessary to support those devices, and that we'll actually see the real world support for it in 20H2, which will just be a minor upgrade that will ship at this time next year. So that's the big news. It's kind of like their one more thing, type announcement, right? Because obviously the focus tomorrow is going to be on the stuff like, here's the new stuff that we're going to ship very soon for this holiday season. The Windows 10X stuff is for next year. It's for a later time period. But I think they're just prepping the the user base, really, just for the future, right? So this is coming. Like, Windows will support folding and dual screen devices.
That is, I find it very interesting, considering, do you think they'll show some sort of demo on a rendered device?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
I'm curious to see if usually at these events you don't see, Dell or Lenovo or any other company, right? So I don't know if they're going to be there or not. I don't know if we're actually going to see their devices in person or anything like that. I have no idea.
I'm curious who that demo is for, those folding devices. I know that it's hot now because it's new, yeah. But who is it marketed to? Who is it targeted? Like, I remember, it's almost like when the Note first came out, right? The Samsung Note. And everybody said, this thing is way too big for the regular consumer. Who is this for? Who needs the phone to be that big? And in reality, slowly every single phone became that big. And now there's nothing unique about it in that sense. But, now, who is that foldable device for?
Actually, I think that thing that you just mentioned is probably a good comparison because I was going to say it doesn't actually replace another device. I suppose in some ways it does. So for a lot of people, a phablet type form factor means they don't have to have a tablet and a phone, right? So they have this thing that's kind of in between, and it does both things well. You can watch movies and read, and it's like a big enough screen. I think that this new device type, folding dual screen devices, kind of fall into the same type of category, where in this case, what you might be preventing yourself, or not having to carry anymore is a laptop, right? That this thing will be a phone or a small tablet form factor to begin with, and it's easy to carry. But when you need the bigger screen, you can kind of open it up. It's sort of the same value proposition, I guess, as a folding smartphone, right? It's when you need it, you get the bigger screen. And so I'm curious to see how Microsoft presents it. I mean, the Surface team has proven itself to be very averse to leading edge technology, right? They still don't support Thunderbolt 3 for some reason. So what would make them jump on the bandwagon with this kind of thing? They must have some pragmatic rationale for it. They don't tend to just do things that are kind of nuts. So part of it is probably pressure from PC makers, in the same way that Samsung and Huawei and whatever must have gone to Google and said, hey guys, this is the new trend. You got to support this in Android. And they did. Even though they don't today provide their own folding device of any kind, and they don't seem to be making one. Microsoft, in this case, is making one. So Or at least
very interesting.
I guess we'll see.
It's very interesting considering this is something that we've been. For all that changes, a lot doesn't, and this was probably one of the first major topics we discussed when you and I started doing a podcast. Was that Courier was a foldable Windows-based device or Microsoft device that a lot of people were excited for in 2009 or two. I think it was 2009, 2010, right? When that thing came out, 2010.
Courier? Yeah. I don't remember the exact timing. Yeah.
I mean, we go back to it because it kind of reminds me of this because we had the same discussion where who is this marketed to? Who is this device for? And can it catch on? I'm not convinced that Huawei and Samsung are going to have a major success with their foldable devices, with their foldable phones.
Yeah. And maybe it's something that happens over time. The Note was immediately successful, and it triggered a real change in the industry. Even Apple eventually jumped on board, obviously. The folding thing, it's going to take a while, but part of the reason is just the reliability issues, right? You're seeing problems with the redesigned Samsung Galaxy Fold, and so that's going to take a little bit. It will take a little while. I do think that because PCs are bigger and bulkier devices, you know, compared to phones, that the reliability issues have a chance of not being as serious. And there are some productivity arguments you could make around having a bigger screen, you know, at your disposal. So we'll see. I mean, some of it's going to be hokies. It may not, you know, the whole thing may not fly. I don't personally, other than the whole, it's cool thing. I mean, I don't personally see a use case for it. So
a lot of people said that about, like we said, the Note. I remember
Remember the jokes? They're holding like an iPad up to their head, and they're like, you know.
I had one sent to me by AT&T to review, and I loved it. I praised the device. I said the more battery life on that thing. Remember, Android at that point wasn't as refined as it is now, all.
Sure.
The bit rot was way worse than it was today. These things were the software wasn't as sophisticated as it was on the iPhone at that time. So, but I loved the phone, and I gave it a great review where the battery life was a necessity, and other manufacturers should catch on to this larger display. And I remember the emails that I was getting saying, I can't fit this in a pocket. How are people going to have this? My wife can't walk around with this. And I remember my family and my friends, they were saying, this phone is way too big. But look at everybody's phone now. I mean, look at these things.
I know. I get phones in that are actually pretty humongous, but because they're not as big as the biggest one I've ever used, I'm like, oh, it looks a little small.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're getting into a weird area. Like that iPhone, 11 Max, 11 Pro Max, whatever the hell the name is probably a half an inch shorter or more than some of its competitors, you know, top to bottom. I mean, so it's a big phone, but it's, you know, this like bigger phones too. I mean, so.
It's not as big as you think. Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I think the important thing tomorrow with regards to the folding stuff is how Microsoft presents it. You know, as a Windows enthusiast, I mean, I'm curious about Windows, right? I want to know about that. But I mean, just from a, I don't know, market analyst perspective, I mean, what's the point of this thing? Like what they have to justify it somehow. I'm very curious about that.
So let's go with the products. Let's talk about the products that we do know that's going to be announced. We've seen the leaks come out. I believe EV Leaks leaked a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Every blog has picked it up. I have some of the images here. Some I don't. Where do you want to begin with this?
Well, let me go look.
I'll throw it to you, Paul. Back to you, Paul.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's just start at the beginning, I guess. Okay. The big news, I think, from a hard... Well, actually, this, you know, that's not fair to say. Actually, two of these are pretty big. So we'll start with the ARM-based Surface tablet, which we found out this morning is probably going to be called Surface Campus, which I hope that's a code name. That would really limit its appeal, you know, with individuals who are not in school and with, you know, business users and so forth. That seems like a stupid name, but... anyway, it is an ARM-based Surface tablet. So in other words, something like Surface Pro, but running an ARM chipset.
But you know what, though? It's not just a university campus or a high school campus. It's also a work
campus.
Like
a corporate campus.
Like a corporate campus, like an IBM or a Microsoft or an Apple. you'd be shot, but you could use this on an Apple campus. I think okay, that's probably the angle they're going with.
All right, there you go. Okay, so I don't know too much about this. It looks like it has two USB-C ports, you know, thin light, et cetera, et cetera. It's probably going to have 20-something hours of battery life. I assume, otherwise it's dead in the water. It must be running that Snapdragon 8CX chipset. It will be interesting to see how they where this fits in, because obviously they have this low-end Surface Go, which is a piece of crap, and then they have this high-end Surface Pro 7, which is wonderful, but starts north of $1,000, you know, realistically speaking, with a type cover. So, you know, where are they going to slot this thing in? I don't think that 8CX devices are going to be particularly inexpensive. And so this is going to be some kind of an alternative. And, you know, we'll see. Knowing Microsoft and the whole software services strategy, there will be a, you know, Microsoft 365 tie-in with this.
Of course.
Where, you know, obviously the Office 365 applications all run on this thing. And they'll probably highlight that.
But and what else does?
Now I'm speculating. Yeah. Yeah.
And what else, you know, what else runs on it? Yeah, this is going to be interesting because this is playing into that bad comparison, right? But when you take Windows and you no longer run an Intel or an AMD chip on it, people start, you know, backing off a little bit. They start getting concerned on how software is going to run on this thing.
Yeah.
And we spoke about this a while ago when they were doing this, and really there wasn't too much latency and there wasn't too much lag because of the way they were doing this, because it was hardware and software based.
Right.
It wasn't just software based. So I'm curious in the real world how using applications is going to work on this.
Me too. But, you know, Microsoft just announced, you know, Windows Desktop Virtualizer, or Windows Virtual Desktop yesterday as a business solution. But I suppose for that kind of the last mile version of application compatibility, you could always do that sort of thing. And, you know, whatever. I mean, with some major exceptions that are important, like Photoshop, Qualcomm chipsets do run most Windows apps. It's not all, you know, that is a problem. The driver compatibility thing is a problem. There's no way around that. Those just have to be redone for ARM, and no one is going to do that unless there are bunches of those things in the marketplace. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. It's a slightly more, nuanced version of the same conversation you have about the folding device. Like, what's the use case? Like, what's the point, you know? So we'll see. Again, we'll have to see how they position it.
I always tell, I mean, I use this line constantly, but half-ass Windows does not work. It's either all or nothing. And that's been the Microsoft mentality. I mean, if you think about how they've supported legacy software and legacy things within the operating system, they cannot do a half-ass operating system. We saw Windows 8. We saw Windows RT.
So I will say, Windows 8. So all the way through Windows 8, the way that Microsoft handled the platform shift from a software development perspective, they did pretty well, right? The idea being that, we have this new app platform. You know, back in Longhorn, we had, you know, Avalon and Arrow and Indigo and whatever, you know, whatever all that stuff was. It was really just another version of .NET, you know, and Vista came out and it was just .NET framework 3.0 probably, or whatever the version was. But, you know, if you bought a new Windows Vista PC, it ran everything from the past. Like, there was no, you know, it didn't cut stuff off. And so that was always fine. You know, Windows 8 was the same thing, really. There was this brand new app platform, this modern app platform that was terrible, but it would still run all the desktop applications. It was fine. Where they've gotten into trouble is what you're talking about, you know, RT, S mode.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the ARM versions of Windows, where the more recent ARM, Windows 10 version, rather, where it doesn't run everything. In some cases, doesn't run anything at all. And that's, you can't hand a Windows user something that looks exactly like Windows, but doesn't run Windows apps. This lesson has been retaught, you know, over and over.
It has to look different. I mean, they have to, I know the end goal eventually is Windows becomes an old thing and they have this new thing that's their future of computing. Of the future of Microsoft.
Yep.
But they have to start somewhere where they can't have Windows, but Windows Lite. You know, and I'm using that term poorly because Windows Lite, you know, possibly.
Well, by the way, this begs the question, you know, is Windows 10 X, is that Windows Lite, right? I mean, we've been talking about Windows Lite or Lite OS or whatever name we were using at the time as this thing that was like a Chromebook.
And it looks different than it looks different than actual Windows.
It is going to have a different look and feel. It is going to look a little bit more like a Chromebook, but you know, maybe that's the issue. Maybe I really do think that Microsoft, there's a place in the market for a Microsoft Chrome OS type of thing. And when you see, I've seen pictures of it, it looks like Chrome OS. It looks a lot like Chrome OS. And so, you know, maybe we have extrapolated that into this thing where it's like, well, this is like Chrome OS. Maybe this is it, you know? But I find it a little goofy that there's a version of Windows specifically for folding and dual screen devices. Why isn't there a version of Windows specifically for tablets? You know, like why would this one thing necessitate another Windows version?
What they should
have
done years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. What they should have done years ago when the tablet craze was happening. I agree. I'm curious to see, what do you think the pricing will be around for this?
That's
cheaper than the Surface.
Like
Go?
I said, I the HCX is going to be a premium product. This is not going to be inexpensive. And so a Surface Go, realistically speaking, is $600 and something with a cover. A Surface Pro, realistically, is $1,100-ish with a cover. Ideally, it would sit between those things. But I have a hard time believing that we're going to see this thing for $800-ish with a cover. I think it's going to be closer to the pricing of Surface Pro. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they did a deal with Qualcomm. Like, look, we got to get this thing off the ground. You're going to have to give us a better deal. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that. So Surface Pro 7.
Mm-hmm.
Go into that because I got some images of that.
Yeah. So Surface Pro 7, I mean, it's a fairly obvious upgrade. It's the same basic form factor, that 2-in-1 tablet design. The big news there is that, and actually I should say across the board, just so everybody knows, all of these Surface devices we're going to talk about still use that Surface Connect port. That's that magnetic, it's like a little slide-in, you know, magnetic connector. It's USB-based. They've not upgraded that. It's not Thunderbolt 3 or anything like that. So the main power connection for all of these is that existing thing, and it's backward compatible, obviously, with all of the peripherals like the Surface Dock. But all of these devices also have USB-C, and if the past is any guide, and maybe it shouldn't be, you should be able to charge over USB-C if you have a charger. So you can do that. The Surface Pro 7, thinner bezels, et cetera, but it will have both a USB-C and a USB-A port.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's the way to do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Surface Laptop 3. This is the big one. So this is a beautiful MacBook.
There's a lot going on here.
What a beautiful MacBook Microsoft has. I'm going to tell you, I'm saying that half joking. If you go to Therat.com right now, it's on the front page. I don't have the overhead shot.
Yeah.
I was rushing to put the notes together and do the show, and I go, oh shit, this is a really nice MacBook. Which one is this? And I saw the mic. The only thing that kind of got my brain back on track for that microsecond was the Microsoft button, you know? The Microsoft flag on the button.
The Windows key.
With the Windows key, yeah. The flag on there. And I go, oh crap, it's the new Surface laptop.
This to me is the other big, this is the other big news of the hardware, big hardware news of the day, because this is a little unexpected. There's something interesting going on here. And now I'm curious.
I mean, that's beautiful.
If there's a strategy change.
Look at that.
So let's just go back. Let's just go back for a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
So when they first announced the Surface laptop 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, it was obviously just, it looked exactly like a MacBook Air. It only had one USB-A port, right? Surface Connect, 3x2 display, et cetera, et cetera. The keyboard's fantastic, trackpad's great, whatever. But it's a little goofy in 2016 or whatever year that was to come out with a MacBook Air clone, right? The entire market had been, you know, cloning these things for years. So they came out with the Alcantara cover as kind of a differentiator. Very divisive. The only way you couldn't get that was if you bought the base unit, which was kind of crappy. So a lot of people would have preferred not getting that cover. I think probably most customers, honestly, because they get, you know, it gets gross over time. And
has it gotten
like
gross?
It's gone.
Because they said it wasn't going to.
Yeah, they say a lot of things, Andrew. So the interesting thing about that is the first gen Surface laptop, I got the platinum version, and the Alcantara coating on that has never been problematic for me. It still looks great. I've used that one far more than I've used like the newer version. But the newer version I got, the Surface Laptop 2, was black. And that shows smudges horrifically just from me, you know, resting my palms on it. I don't think of myself as a particularly gross human being, but whatever. I mean, I obviously have oil in my skin or something. I don't know. But yeah, for some reason, that device, despite not being used as much, has been a problem. So, and certainly you've seen the reports. I mean, people have obviously posted pictures of Cheetos ground into it and whatever. So based on the photos, well, a couple of things going on. So for this gen, there's a 13 and now a 15, right? Which they had done previously with Surface Book 2. The 15 is the one that you looked at and said, oh my God, it looks exactly like a MacBook Pro, really, right? It is a little thicker. I mean, even in the profile, it looks a little bit more like a MacBook Pro. The one thing we can't see from the leaked screenshots is the port situation. They only show one side of the device where the Surface Connect port is. And there's nothing. I've been told that there is only one USB port on this device still.
Stop.
And that it's a USB-C port. You don't, you never see the other side of it.
So on the MacBook, for example, we have two USBs on one side and a headphone jack and two on the other. So we have four USB, I guess, Thunderbolt, right?
USB-C. Thunderbolt. Yeah. MacBook Air, the new one, the new ones, I guess. There's two USB-C ports, Thunderbolt 3 ports. They're on the left side of the device, and there's nothing on the other side. Well, maybe a headphone jack or something.
I'm just going to say, this is a really nice device.
Yeah, so here's now this is where I'm going to speculate. This is based purely on just kind of thinking, like, what's going on here? One of the big rumors is that this is going to be AMD-based, or at least there'll be an AMD option. And I will say, given the bigger size of the 15 and the potentially thicker form factor, that this thing could have dedicated graphics. And if this thing has dedicated graphics, we don't need a Surface Book anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm starting to wonder if this thing is being slotted in to replace the Surface Book as well. That they'll have this one laptop.
Yeah, it's not necessary anymore.
The removable screen has always been a liability. It's a huge reliability issue. The fact that you can't close it all the way because of that stupid hinge they had to make that even possible is just, has always been an engineering disaster. It's stupid. When I briefly talked to Stevie Batish, one of the designers of that device, at the Surface press event, I said, obviously you intend to get rid of that gap over time. It was just an engineering problem. You just created it. And he says, oh yeah, definitely. And then someone grabbed him and pulled him away because he was not supposed to be talking to me about that. So Microsoft never wanted to have that open gap, you know, you see in Surface Book. Their solution may be, why do we have two of these things? No one's taking the screen off.
Yeah.
There's no reason for this. No one is doing that. And I don't mean literally.
People. And that hinge is hideous.
The one guy, yeah, the hinge is ridiculous. Again, speculation, but it's notable there's no Surface Book 3 happening. It has been 2 years. You know, it's ready. It's time. This might be why.
So I know a lot of people are going to say, well, why AMD, right? And yep. That's almost maybe like that's a negative for them. I spent, because I was dying sick in bed, I spent a lot of time reading up on Intel losing a tremendous amount of ground to AMD and the way that they're doing their chipsets now. AMD is not the same AMD of 5 years ago. They have really caught up and surpassed Intel as far as computing power from these CPUs on their high end. I don't know. I have not read as much about the mobile side. I've read more about the desktop side.
Well,
they've
hit 7 nanometers on mobile, right? And so, you know, listen, again, I can only speculate with that, but it's possible maybe the 13 is an AMD and the 15 is an Intel with dedicated graphics or Iris graphics at the very least. I don't know, you know, but yeah, I've heard the same thing. I don't have a lot. I don't have any
experience
with recent AMD
stuff. I spoke to AMD and they're sending over some stuff for me to use and to test because we're looking to do a production build for Suncast. He needs a new production machine. So I contacted AMD and I said, hey, listen, this is the concept that we're putting together. Would you mind sponsoring this build? And the guy, the person that I spoke to, was very much into this idea because they are trying to really capitalize on that market of, listen, production software, production editing doesn't have to be Intel-based anymore. We are able to do a lot more for a fraction of what you're paying because Intel has really monopolized the chipset costs. I'm curious if this lowers the price also if you're doing an AMD-based 13-inch model. compared to an Intel based.
That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. The AMD stuff, is a rumor. It's been a pretty widespread rumor, multiple sources, et cetera, but I just don't know. So,
yeah, I'm very excited about this. I will purchase one for sure if it's what I want, because people are going to be shocked to know I use Windows way more than I use a Mac now. I'm doing a tremendous amount with my new gig that I have.
I also use Windows way more than I use a Mac.
I've kind of become a corporate guy. I don't know if I've told you this, Paul. I not full time, just diving my foot into it, and I have an office in Manhattan now, and I'm doing the whole suit and tie thing every day. Not every day, 3 days a week. That was my agreement. But I cannot get a lot of my spreadsheet work done on my Mac. I can't. It's becoming very difficult for me. I don't know why. It should be the same, but I feel like on Windows, it's quicker for me to do. So I'm using my HP. Actually, you know what's funny? I use my the EliteBook over the 360, the X360 Spectre. Yep. I tend to use that a lot more than
I prefer that as well
because I'm typing and everything. But I'm in the Windows ecosystem way more now. I would love this to be my everyday computer, the 15-inch model.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've always liked the bigger machines, but obviously depending on the computer, a lot of bulk, et cetera. Yeah. So this one I'll be looking very close.
The other thing I'm curious about, and this is something that's kind of overlooked, is durability with travel. Yeah. And because this is going to be a premium device, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's going to be targeted to a lot of enterprise users. I'm saying, work-based stuff. Yeah. People are going to travel with this thing. And something that I've learned over the last, 4 or 5 years of going back and forth into Manhattan almost every day is that these MacBooks are not that durable. They cannot take the beating that you would imagine that an HP, even a Spectre or an EliteBook can.
Which is weird because they're probably made of the exact same material.
It doesn't. And I actually spoke to HP about this.
Yeah.
I spoke to HP about this, about their EliteBooks, and they put it through. It has the best impact test as far as daily shock,
I use the EliteBook almost exclusively the first 6 months of this year to the detriment of reviews and things, and just because it was so fantastic. And I when I went on that gigantic travel spree between April and June, that's the machine I brought everywhere. I loved it. It's a great computer. In fact, you can see it charging behind me. I'm probably going to bring the Surface Book 2 when I go to New York today, but
All it takes, and I think Microsoft could do with this, is the feel has to be great. The trackpad and the keyboard. That's all you need.
By the way, the Surface laptop is one of the very best typing and trackpad experiences.
Oh, it is. No, absolutely.
It already is. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. But this looks like it's a different gorgeous. Key. This looks like it's different.
What does?
The new one, the new Surface laptop, the images that we've seen, it looks different to me. It's not the same.
Let me look. I didn't really...
On that overhead headshot.
It's funny. What it looks like is the... From a distance, what it looks like is the Mac. When I zoom in and watch it, look at it full screen, to me, this is... Well, here. Hold on. I think I have
one. I'm zooming in. Yeah. Bring it up.
Let me just... This is the first gen, so it has white. The keys on that computer. Here, let me see if I can show this to you. The keys in the screenshot are black, right? And the keys on this machine, because it's platinum colored, are more gray. But if you look at it, I don't know how well you can see this, but
I don't know. It could be the render. It looks like the throw is lower.
I think it's the same.
You think so? Yeah, because on the image,
you can see this is the Alcantara thing I was talking about. Like on this machine, nothing. I mean, it doesn't look smudged.
Actually, no, the trackpad looks different. It looks more square opposed to the one that you're holding up.
Let me look. I don't think
so. Just looking at that.
Well, I mean, the picture, you got to remember the picture.
Yeah.
It's a 15-inch version for one thing. So things are spread out a little bit more. Not really.
Well, we'll see. I'm hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the 13 inch like model, obviously, we spoke about. You mentioned that there's going to be a 13 inch model that may be the AMD based one, maybe not. We'll find out tomorrow. As far as other hardware, new mice aren't that exciting, you wrote.
But, well, yeah, new mice and the new colors, you know. Yeah, okay.
But a new Surface Pen with wireless charging dock.
Yeah. If you look at the shots that Mahedi has of the ARM-based, the campus, I guess it's called for some reason. I think it's in his shots, or maybe it's in Evan Blass's shots. But there's a – let me just find it before I describe it. It looks like the type cover on that device, between the keyboard and the bottom of the device itself, there's a little well for that pen. It's kind of like that thing you can stick on the – no, actually, it was – no, Apple has one, right? Don't they have a type cover or a case now for the iPad Pro or whatever that lets you lock the pen into it or something?
Yeah, there is.
It looks a little bit like that. And I think Samsung has one as well on their 2-in-1 tablet, Android tablet. So it looks kind of like that. So there's that little piece of the type cover that kind of adjusts the angle of the keyboard a little bit. There's a little well built in there for the Surface Pen on that device. But it looks too, and this is according to the post that Mahedi had today, that they're going to sell a separate wireless charger that plugs into a USB, probably a USB-C cable, where it will wirelessly charge the pen while it's sitting in its little container. So right. That will be for everybody. So yeah. It looks like the ARM-based one will have this built in maybe. And then for other devices, you'll be able to, get the little standalone piece, I guess.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about. I have a lot of questions for you about this event, which I'm gonna ask you. But before we continue, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's one of my favorite sponsors, and it's HelloFresh. Paul loves to cook, and so do I. It's one of the few joys I have in life at this point. I absolutely love cooking at home, and I like to make things that are different. Right? I don't like to cook the same exact thing every time that I'm cooking. And HelloFresh offers this great opportunity to do that. They make cooking delicious meals from home a reality, regardless of what you're going to be doing. It's right in the comfort of your own kitchen. From step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything to get you started with this unbelievable dinner and on the table in just 30 minutes. Say goodbye to the endless grocery shopping trip when you're trying to put everything together. HelloFresh has you covered. I subscribe to a vegetarian plan because I like to make this my diet meal of sorts. And I kind of like to do this 3 days a week. They have unbelievable stuff with 20 plus seasonal chef curated recipes each week. You could do couple of, depending on what you want, it's 20 different options. So they're constantly moving this thing around. You could go from 1 day or 2 day or 3 day. I opt in for the 3 day. They also have a family plan. They have a vegetarian plan. They have an unbelievable selection of stuff that you could do. I made last week before I fell apart as a human being because I'm sick. This was actually, I had just started my diet and I kind of wanted something that wasn't too good for me, in the sense that it wasn't plain and boring like a boiled chicken because I'm really watching my calories. I was kind of like, let's do something interesting. We made a vegetarian quesadilla that they sent over everything for. It was unbelievable. I mean, this is probably, they probably don't want me to tell you this, but I'll probably use the same recipe going forward whenever I want to make it because it was so delicious. And it was beyond simple. And they could just put everything in the bag. You open it up. You just read the instructions and bam, you're good. And they actually pair stuff with wine on the recipe list, which is awesome. Here's a great opportunity for you to try it out also. You get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh when you go to HelloFresh.com/WTT80. That's $80 off your first month when you go to HelloFresh.com/WTT80 and use the code WTT80. When you check out, that's WTT80. Listen, I highly recommend you try this. If you are a cooking buff or if you don't even know how to cook, my wife has a friend that has no idea how to cook. I mean, if you tell her, take chicken and cut it and just put in the oven, she will not be able to do it. She needs the instructions in front of her, and she absolutely loves this. She can't do it on her own. She loves to see the step-by-steps and have everything in front of her, and they do a great job at that. These are great recipes. It's absolutely delicious, and everyone that I know that has signed up has actually stuck with it, and that's a good sign for me and for HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com/WTT80. Get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. I want to thank them for supporting the show. Paul, have you done yours yet? You love cooking. You need to try
it. What?
Have you done the HelloFresh recipes?
No.
I got to get one sent to you.
I would like to try it.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I'm going to get one sent to Paul.
I just got an alarming notification. I apologize.
Oh, bad or your flight's delayed?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I can't even. Apparently, the iPhone that was coming next week is arriving today.
Oh,
which
no.
Which means I can't leave here until it arrives because I can't leave an $1,100 phone out on the front step.
You know what you could do? You could find, is it coming UPS?
Yes.
Can you track where the guy is? Because here, we could track where the UPS driver is.
Yeah, I can. But how is that going to help me?
You can go find him. Go find the man.
The problem is, like, if it was FedEx, he would come early. But if UPS it's, if it was UPS, which it is,
there's Apple screwing you one more time.
Oh, man. Where is this guy? He's not near here.
He's not.
He's on the road.
He's on the road.
This says estimated delivery by 2:30 p.m.
The what bus time were you leaving?
Is at 1:30.
Oh, no.
So I can't not be here for this. Well, actually, maybe I could have my daughter if she's home. Anyway, sorry. Don't worry about it.
No problem.
I'll figure it out.
Anything else that we should discuss from the event?
Let me look.
Before I start asking you some questions.
I think that's everything that we know about. Anyway, who knows? Yeah. Maybe they'll surprise us. I don't think so, but.
So we know that it's going to be packing with USB-C and USB-A. Do we know on the if there's going to be a difference in the USB on the 15-inch and the 13-inch? I don't know. I forgot if you mentioned.
No. So in all of the leaked screenshots that EVLeaks has, there is no picture of the other side where those ports are. So I had heard previously that they were just having one USB-C port, but when you look at the Surface Pro 7, you can see there's one of each. That kind of makes more sense, especially on the bigger one, because there's going to be so much room over there. So I don't know. You know, we can't tell from the pictures.
I think that this is a very good sign that Microsoft is taking this seriously, and they really want to have a tremendous lineup available. I think between this whole Windows 10 X thing, where it's going to be a foldable device that we'll probably see next year, announced by them.
Oh, late next year.
Yeah. Late next year. Probably around the same time next year, right? October.
Yeah, this time.
The October event. Like I said earlier on, I'm very curious if they actually show some sort of render or mock-up of how this thing will go. Because what's the point of announcing that you're going to have dual screen or foldable display version of Windows if you can't demo how that's going to work? And you had said you can't see Dell or any of the OEM partners doing that demo.
No, what I said was, I know that they're coming out with them. That Microsoft has never had their partners at one of these events. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen. You know, just the fact that they're talking about something that's happening next year is new too. So you never know. You know, we'll see. That will be a surprise if it happens.
So to kind of go on to some other stuff. This was a big story for me. It was big news for me. I don't know how it would affect anybody else, but YouTube TV is now on the Fire TV.
Yep.
And this is big for a number of reasons. One, and I constantly talk about this. I've done the battles between Hulu TV, the Hulu's live TV service, Sling's, DirecTV Now, which is now AT&T, right? What are they rebranded to?
Yeah.
No, whatever they rebranded it to. I've used all of them, every single one of them, and they all suck for a number of reasons, right? Some do things that are better than other ones.
Yeah, sure.
But as far as overall quality goes, right, of your picture, mm-hmm. nobody comes near what YouTube is able to do.
Yeah, it's They're my able, favorite. Yeah,
it, well. It has the highest bit rate out of all of them. It has, you know, it's doing 1080p 60 on a lot of stations. The picture quality on some stations are better than what you're getting from your cable provider. Fios mm-hmm. does that weird QAM splitting, or they used to. Now with their, I mean, they have an IP based one that's different now, but and watching it, I've always said the bar to my quality is, can you watch sports on a streaming service without noticing how it falls apart? You know, you could watch, if you're watching yeah. football on Sling, or you're watching whatever, basketball, whatever it is, when you mm-hmm. see that rapid movement happening, because the bit rate is low and or the frame rate is low, it starts looking really bad. I coined the phrase internet-y when I describe it to someone without wanting to go into details about frame rate and bit rate and all that stuff. And people tend to understand when I say it looks like you're watching it on the internet, which is terrible for sports. I was watching football on YouTube TV. Looked unbelievable. I was going back and forth with the over-the-air feed because I have an antenna on CBS mm-hmm. and the CBS feed on YouTube TV. YouTube looked better.
Yeah.
So they're on the Fire TV, and this kind of the feud between Amazon and Google is over. Thank God, because now you have YouTube back and you have YouTube TV. Have you what do you think of this, the streaming providers, Paul? Do you also say that YouTube is the best?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't evaluated them all head to head since last year now because YouTube is so much better. I just that's the one I would choose.
So that's, I mean, for me, that was big news yesterday. It made my night.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to do, you know how I've been doing it? It's actually crazy. I bought that new Vizio. One of the problems that I have with my new iPhone is that I can't get Chromecast to work. I can't Chromecast to my TV. It's not recognizing the TV anymore. It's the most bizarre thing. And I can't figure out why. And I spent like 20 minutes trying to get figuring it out, and I couldn't do it. So I just went to my Android phone and I did it. So I've been Chromecasting. That's how I've been doing YouTube TV. But it's a pain in the butt. I hate doing it that way. I like it integrated. But my TV has built in, you know, apps, and YouTube TV is one of them. It sucks. It's slow. It's sluggish. It doesn't work the same way. So this kind of was phenomenal for me. The other thing that I like now, I could use it on all my devices. I have an Apple TV downstairs. I have my Fire TV upstairs. I have another Fire TV here. So I don't have to pick what TV I'm going to watch something on, which is kind of crazy that we had to do in 2019. Right? You kind of should be able to get all the apps on there, all the devices. That was one story. So do you want, I'm gonna tell you some of these. I know you're getting your iPhone today. And before we wrap it up, I want to talk about.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I kind of want to go into this a little bit. I've had this phone, here you go, for almost 2 weeks now. It's going to be 2 weeks on mm-hmm. Friday. And there's a lot of things that I absolutely love. The camera, by far, stunning. I don't know if you saw that picture, a couple pictures I posted in night mode, Paul, on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you guys go to my Twitter, at Andrew Zarian, I don't know if you want to go and take a look at it. Mm-hmm. You could go back. Let's see, a week or so. You could kind of scroll back. I did a lot of Sopranos tweets over the last week. I've been revisiting the Sopranos a lot. Let's see. Okay, so if you go back to 9:23, I took some nighttime shots. And the criticism I got was really interesting. Like, I took one on a busy street, right? It's still nighttime. It's 10 o'clock at night. And the colors were stunning that I was able to get this at 10 o'clock at night. People said, well, it's a well-lit street. It doesn't work in the dark. It still needs light, guys.
Oh, boy.
It still needs some sort of light for you to kind of see the image. So I took four shots here, and it was dark. I mean, it was the middle of the night. One of them is Con Edison is tearing up the street. I mean, that block was really dark. The only source of light was the one behind me and the moon. And it was able to put this remarkable photo together. I'm very impressed by the camera. It's
look great.
Doing a much better job than I thought it would do. I have to tell you, not having a physical button for me has been an adjustment.
The physical.
The Touch ID.
Yeah.
I've adjusted now. I am having some strange issues with image. Like if I'm swiping something up, it gets stuck on the top. Like the tiny bit, it'll get stuck for like 3 seconds and then go away. So I don't know if they've corrected that with a software update because it happened last week a couple times. It's heavy. It's really heavy because the battery's huge. It's thick. And when you compare it to my Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus, this is a gigantic phone. I mean, it's a really big phone. I know that they probably, you know, the compromise is the battery on this. You need the bigger battery, which I'm not complaining. I like the battery life. It's absolutely unbelievable. But I think this is like if you're going from a thin phone to this, you're going to say, wow, this is a step backwards. But I guess that's why it's a pro device, right, Paul?
That's one reason.
It's a pro device.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's not the thinnest and the most elegant.
Branding is hard, Andrew. I think we can all agree. I think there are theories that next year they'll differentiate it more, you know, maybe with USB-C, et cetera. But,
yeah, the rumors are that the notch is going away next year.
Yep. Like the back will be the same, but the front will be different.
The notch is really stupid. There's no defending this. I got used to it. You know, you kind of get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
But it's really dumb.
Defending it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't need to be there. This is something they could have fixed. They just they reused designs for so long. This is one time where they should have just said, look, we're sorry, you know, and moved on. But
I will say this is if you have an iPhone 10.
Mm-hmm.
I would have told you don't upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Now with using this, because I did use an iPhone 10 for some time, I would say this is not just like a skip year. Because there were a lot of improvements done to the phone that I would say you normally don't see in a skip year.
Right.
The camera, for one thing, is... There is a difference. I mean, there is a noticeable difference between the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 11. There is a noticeable difference.
Yep, that's what I've heard.
I don't know about the 10S.
It's supposed to be a big difference from that one too.
It is. Yep. I haven't done that comparison yet, but there is a big difference. Mm-hmm. But you know, next year being a redesign year, I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. Do you want to skip the redesign year or do you want to go head first into it?
I mean, you know, other than the notch, I mean, the thing I would say about this is we've had this conversation comparing it to cars. You know, if this is the third and final year of this rev, it means it's mature. It's been bug tested. It works. It's all there. It's going to be reliable and work for a long time. You know,
yeah.
I think the worry for next year is the camera doesn't change that much because they got that right this time. And so they really don't have to screw with it too much.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on where you're at in the upgrade cycle and how you feel about it. I mean, if camera matters to you, number one, I think you have to upgrade.
What do you know? If what it's the benchmark
something else,
was?
Then probably no.
Do you know what the camera benchmark fell on? The
score?
The ExoMark? Yeah.
No, I don't.
I got to pull it up.
I wouldn't be surprised to discover it's now the best one.
Let's see. Is that even on the list? Did they even do it? I don't think they did it yet.
Really?
I'm looking at their list right now. Huawei Mate 30. Samsung Galaxy Note 10. Huawei P30. Samsung Galaxy Note 10. Samsung Galaxy S10 5G. There is no iPhone on this list right now.
Right. Yeah, they just update. Well, actually, yeah, it's they have a September 20th post
exploring
that says they're looking at it.
Yeah, they're actually not this slow.
Yeah, a lot of companies give them stuff early.
They didn't get it.
It's pretty clear Apple did not for some reason. Like, honestly, it seems like they probably should have because they do have a pretty good write-up about it, though, even though they haven't rated it yet.
I mean, they do the best job at kind of tearing this thing apart.
Yeah,
and separating.
They really demonstrate how terrible the portrait mode is on the iPhone, and it really is awful.
It's really okay. So that's one criticism. So I took a couple portrait mode shots in unbelievable lighting. Okay.
Yeah.
In the best. It was the sunniest day I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. I actually took it of my brother, and it falls apart. I mean, it really does. And I took one of my daughter. We went out to lunch, and you will be surprised how quickly that thing falls apart. If you move this much, or if you, I don't know. I find it very interesting how at times it gets it so right, but majority of the time it just devastating how it falls apart. It's just not able to do it, but Google's able to do their portrait mode way better.
Yeah. I mean, looking at this write-up they do have, I would say that the Huawei P30 Pro still has a much better camera.
You think so?
Yeah, based on their pictures. I mean, they do side-by-sides with that, the Apple and the Samsung 5G version of the Note 10.
Yeah, and they say that the Mi 30 is the best one.
Yeah, and their ratings, but as far as their head-to-head that they did, it looks like the P30 Pro and the Mate 30 are very similar, obviously. I don't know.
You know what, though? It depends on... So I've looked at all these comparisons. I don't like how Samsung takes photos. I think Samsung tends to flatten everything. Everything from... I mean, I've had a Samsung as my Android phone, for like 10 years now. It flattens all the images, always. It just the software processing that they do, it's really interesting.
Yeah, the Samsung hasn't changed for me. It's like I think most people would be satisfied with it as a camera. I find the pictures to be washed out. Overall, you know, I'll get a great shot on it. But you know, some of the best pictures I've taken are, you know, beautiful sunny day, blue sky. I mean, that's any. You could get a disposable camera that would take a good shot on a day like that. So I don't know. I don't like the night shot stuff. To me, is not as good as any of the other cameras. But
I'm what,
you know, it's there if you wanted it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just not. I don't know. It's hard because if you hadn't experienced some of the better cameras, you probably would think it was fantastic. You know, and it's fine. It's good, but it's just not as good as some of the top level stuff.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up. I wanted to just give a quick preview of, you know, what's coming on tomorrow at the Surface event. Obviously, Paul's going to have a lot more content coming out this week. You're going to do Windows Weekly on Thursday, I believe, right?
Yeah, at noon. You're
doing Windows Weekly Thursday. Are you recording anything with Brad tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll do something quick after the show just to kind of recap what was announced. I don't think there are going to be any surprises at this point. It's kind of, it woke up this morning and it was like, okay, you know, the whole, I have to imagine that's the whole event right there. So we'll see.
It's crazy how these things leak.
Yeah,
it really is. Go to our website, jfknetwork.com. Guys, if you're watching this, actually you can't be, watching this live because we didn't do this show live. If you're
watching,
if you downloaded
this, something went horribly wrong.
Something went horribly wrong because we're not doing it live. In some parallel universe, we did do this live at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're watching this or listening to this via podcast, please remember you could subscribe to our bonus show on Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us as little as $1 or whatever you want to fund us. And you get access to our bonus show that we're going to record right now for the next 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so. And it's just Paul and I discussing whatever the topic is that we're going to discuss at the moment, whatever comes to mind. Maybe my illness, maybe me being in bed for the last 3 days. No, we're going to talk about a couple topics, and it helps us out, and then we continue providing you with this extra stuff. For all things Paul, go to therot.com, become a Therot premium member. You get all these extra bonuses. You get all these extra articles. It's a great gift. You could even gift it to somebody. I'm going to start giving it as a gift for Christmas this year. Everybody gets a Therot premium membership.
Wow.
Best gift you could give people.
It'd be a good gift for me.
Yeah. Forget about getting dad a tie.
Yeah,
get him exactly. A Therot premium membership. Sure. Even if he has no idea who Paul is.
Mm-hmm.
Open up, you know, he opens up that card on Christmas and it says Therot premium membership.
I just wanted a tie.
I just wanted a tie. Who's Therat? Go find out. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all later. Take care.